it's that time on a Monday morning when we talk about Ipswich versus Norwich, the game yesterday. Both guys went to the match. Oh, no, sorry, wrong notes. It's Dominic and Ross who aren't interested in football.
I don't mind football.
Yeah,
neither do I, except I have I don't know anything about it. What happened? I mean, who won? I want to know.
There's a draw. I heard it on Radio Norfolk. I was listening to the whole game. I thought that was quite good for me.
Well done. Yeah, it was 2-2. Yes, it held my attention too.
I'd heard about it, but I completely forgot about it until now.
Lots of people walk around the city in yellow shirts, and it's the one away game where the away fans get escorted back to the train station, put on a train to Ipswich, and some of them have actually got cars parked in Norwich, but they're made to go back to Ipswich before coming back again. Anyway, so you've been spending your bucks this week, Dom. We'll talk about your new computer in a little while, but we were talking last week about social networking, things like Facebook.
Yes.
And this week I've put some of the videos on my Facebook page. Right. So if people want to see what goes on at Future Radio, go on to Facebook.
How hard is that to upload them to Facebook? I've never done that before.
Really easy, even for me. I was quite so surprised. It worked. It took a little while, but
is it similar to like YouTube, the way you just like browse your computer and upload?
The same thing, yeah.
I believe it's very good.
It's very simple. The whole problem with uploading videos, you have to remember, your speed down towards you is much greater than the speed up. Yeah. It's like 10 times sometimes. So it may take you a minute to download a video, but it might take you half an hour to upload the same video on the internet. So that's something to remember.
Why is that? Why don't they keep it equal?
Because the whole thing that's called the broadband that you're using is called ADSL, and the A stands for asynchronous, because you're basically using the old copper wires that they were using, in the 1950s,
right.
And now you're making them to send megabits and megabits after megabits of data, and so you can all they can do is just do it one direction rather than both directions.
Talking about uploading and downloading, in my house I've got two lines. One was for business, one is for just home use. And I used to have the broadband on the business line, but for my own reasons I wanted to move to the home line. But since I put it onto the home line, it seems a lot slower.
Yes, business connections cost more, but they're more reliable. And they usually have better uplinks because businesses often need to upload stuff more than home users. So that's you actually cannot get. There's no way you could buy a better up speed for your home. But you can if you have a business line. Most companies will sell you a better up speed as well as a better down speed.
Now. So what's the big news? Well,
first before you go on, for the rest of this half hour, I want to talk about how to buy a new computer. So in the meantime, while we're chatting about the social networking, if anybody wants to get on the messenger and send us a message and send any questions in, then we can then answer that. So they can do that in the meantime. And also want to remind people if they want to use the email address, the techtalk@futureradio.co.uk, they can do that as well. So and to ask questions that we answer then.
If people want to talk to us right now, they can email studio@futureradio.co.uk. Go to the website futureradio.co.uk, click on the instant messenger. Any kind of questions for Dominic or via your text, the word future first, then your message to 666. What kind of questions would people
anything
send
about
in,
buying
do you think?
A new computer, anything right. That you have an old computer, something's breaking down, you think about replacing a part, upgrading anything and everything, and if you think about buying a printer and things like that. Well, let's talk about the news, and then we can talk about the new computers afterwards.
Slap my wrists.
So Google are becoming the Tesco's of the internet, taking everything over.
Yes, they are. And fortunately, the internet is kind of an open field and an open resource. So you can have a massive search engine like Google, but there can always be another company. There's not a limited amount of retail spaces that you can have. So fortunately, it's not quite as bad as Tesco's, and Google, are trying to be not always succeeding, but they're trying to be not as evil as your usual big massive corporation. We'll see what happens. But we were talking about social networking, MySpace and Facebook last week, and just this week, just right after we stopped, the next 2 days or so, Google had a massive announcement. Something that they're starting something called Open Social, which is an interface. Have you ever heard the acronym API?
I don't think
bet
I
you
have.
Haven't. You have? What does
no,
it mean?
I haven't. I don't think so.
Well, learn that acronym and love it. That's API. Sort of. You don't ever need to use it as yourself because you're the programmer. But if you're looking at a service and you're thinking, is it a good service? The question is, do they have a good API? And API stands for Application Programming Interface, which means programmers can go in and develop widgets that can interact with your service. So, for instance, Google Maps has great API. So you see Google, all sorts of services built around Google Maps, and Google published an open API. So it means developers can develop great, great little widgets. And Facebook trounced MySpace earlier this year in May by opening up their API so that all these services, all these things we were talking about last week that you, that you liked in, like stuff like I Like for sharing music. I mean, there's thousands of them right now, things, little widgets that you can put on your Facebook account and share with your friends.
But Dominic, if
that's all new, and that's much better than MySpace.
If I am just uploading my videos or my photos, or just messing around, or someone's throwing sheep at me on Facebook. Do I really need to know or learn or love about API? It's just like
you don't need to learn anything about it. Just be aware that it has.
Right.
Well, it's good to know that Facebook has it, because that sort of means it's open and that you can get more out of it down the line. Whereas MySpace has traditionally had semi-open APIs, and they have been had very sort of strained relationship with their developers, and they've closed some of them off. They didn't allow so it hasn't been quite as fun and as dynamic. Whereas Facebook, in the last like 4 or 5 months, has seen an explosion of these little applications, like you can play Scrabble on Facebook with your friends and things like that. And in MySpace doesn't have that. Now Google has announced a cross social network API, because of course MySpace and Facebook aren't the only one. There's Bebo, there's Google owns Orkut, which is big in Brazil supposedly. Bebo is supposedly big in the UK. I've never heard of anybody who's using it. You know, there's a bunch of others that are sort of smaller scale for particular niches. And Google has come up with an API that can share these applications across different social networks. So you can be on MySpace and somebody can be on Bebo, and you can be using the same application over that, combining without having to starting an account on both of them. So your friend could be on Bebo, you could be on MySpace, you could be playing Scrabble using this kind of open, it's called Open Social API, and that's, the developers can develop programs like that. So that is a very big announcement, because all of a sudden you can just kind of find a home in one place and interact with people in other places, and you don't have to constantly move between social networks, because the big sort of social network hounds have 5 accounts in different places, and you're going to have to go back and forth. But imagine you could have just one place, and then you could share some of these things that you right now have to join Facebook for. You can do it from MySpace and your friends and somewhere else. Unfortunately, Facebook hasn't joined the initiative fully yet. I mean, they're sort of talking about maybe joining it. But MySpace is in, Bebo is in, Orkut is in, LinkedIn, which is the business social networking, Blaxo, and a bunch of others. They're all in. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, it's like all of a sudden this big opening of potential in social networking. And I think that could be good news for people who feel overwhelmed by all these services out there.
So it won't spell trouble then for the likes of Facebook. It'll enhance it, if anything.
Well, it will, because one of the things that is happening, people are leaving. Have you ever heard of Friendster? That was the first social network, first social networks about 5 years ago. And everybody's deserted it. It still exists, from what I understand. But everybody's deserted it for something better. Everybody went to MySpace. Mm. Now everybody's leaving MySpace for Facebook. And so if these services are open. Not everybody. I mean, MySpace is still bigger than Facebook, but it's not growing as dynamically. Yeah.
But people want to have fun. People want the internet to have fun, and so people don't go on the net too much. They're just throwing sheep at each other and fireworks and on your safe manner.
But the thing is, the problem is that now that if you left MySpace for Bebo or something, you lose all your data, all your friends, everything, and you have to start from scratch. Now, the hope is, I mean, we haven't seen it in practice, so we don't know what's going to happen. The hope is next time when you do that, you can take all of your stuff with you. Or hopefully you will be able to share your widgets with people from Bebo, so MySpace is hoping you won't have to leave MySpace at all. So, so that's...
It'd be good to have everything in one place.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big hope, and that would completely transform your experience of the internet, having sort of one home. So I think that is a huge news, but it's just a hope. I mean, we haven't really seen any implementations of it yet. Mm. So we'll see.
We'll see. We'll come back and we'll talk about you buying your new computer in a few minutes' time. Play some Super Furry Animals first. But if you've got a question you'd like to ask Dom about buying a computer, via the website futureradio.co.uk, or a message via your text phone, the word future, then your message to 600 66.
Community Chest on Future Radio 96.9 with Langford Letting. For available properties, visit www.langfordgroup.co.uk.
It's 21 minutes past 11 o'clock. You can click on the webcam on the Future Radio site, futureradio.co.uk. We've got it at an angle at the moment. It's tied up in the blinds, but all you can really see is Dominic's nose.
And what a nose it is.
My slightly balding
and,
head.
And Ross looking quite pensive. Now, we've got a challenge.
What's pensive mean?
It means thoughtful.
Oh, that's all right.
Good job I knew that.
Something bad.
thinking and deep in thought. James Bensley, can you hear me? We've got a technical challenge for you. We want you to sort out this webcam. We think it should go in the corner of the studio. Then you can see everything going on the whole time.
To the listeners, James Bensley, by the way, is our IT man, because no one at home knows who he is.
Well, they do, because often Terry converses with him via the message board.
Yeah, but people don't know who he is.
Yes, well, that's who he is anyway, yes. Thank you for pointing that out. So, James, we want that sorted out. All you need to do is put an extension lead, put it up in the corner, and then we can see the whole studio. And you might even see into Studio B as well. So it'll be quite interesting. Otherwise, you just get the face of the DJ.
The spider has gone,
laid her eggs, and got... Oh, no, she's still there? No, she's disappeared. She just laid all her eggs, and off she's gone.
Anyway.
She's just got... she's left a different kind of web full of dead spiders. So, Dominic, God. You've been out and about, and you have bought a computer. So did you go to... Where did you go? PC World and just buy one in a box or what?
No. Well... What happened is that my laptop, my good laptop, broke down. I had to send it off to be fixed. And right. I started using my old laptop, and I was just horrified how slow it is. And I realized I need a better working environment. So I needed to buy a new computer that is faster and, above all, has a large screen. And I went to Dell. Mm-hmm. And I bought it from Dell because you can customize pretty much the computer you want, and they ship it to you. And I was very happy. I ordered it on Monday, and it arrived on Friday. So that was including their, you know, they had to build it for me from scratch. And, you know, so that was pretty impressive.
I've heard mixed things about Dell. Some people say, no, never get a Dell. And other people say, oh, they're fantastic.
Yeah, Dell have kind of a mixed reputation. I mean, the problem is you can never rely on just kind of an individual person's experience. And, you know, I just kind of went with Dell just because of the service, the customization. They allowed me to pretty much choose what I want. And it was very cheap. You know, I spent $600 plus a little bit on that whole thing, and you know, as I say, it's just gonna, and it is as fast as I want it to be.
So how fast is fast?
Well, that is the important thing. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Is when people talk about computers, they're still in this speed sort of paradigm remember when you were buying computers 10 years ago, we're thinking, well, how many gigahertz or sort of megahertz and gigahertz? You know, 400 megahertz was a big thing. That was my, you know, and then you have Pentium 3 and Pentium 4 and all these things. Well, now pretty much any processor you buy will be more than you can use if you're just a regular user. I mean, unless you do lots of video editing and audio editing, pretty much anything you get will be enough. So you don't need to look at the processor as carefully as you do before, unless you know that you're going to be doing a lot of audio transcoding, a lot of video transcoding, because those are the only two processor intensive operations anymore that you're going to use a processor for. Otherwise, you don't. Any old processor will do, right? So that's the one thing. So when you talk about speed, not that big a deal anymore. However, if you are interested, just make sure you're getting, because Intel has come out with new processors, and AMD is the other company that makes processors, and they all have what's called a dual core. So basically, you have two processors, which means these days you can be burning a CD and using the computer at the same time, because the processor just doesn't have to switch anymore, because it just kind of divides the work.
Why do computers freeze? Is that because they haven't got enough power, enough memory?
Well, remember, what the processor is doing is basically saying, okay, well, here's 10011100, and it's just kind of doing it in sequence, right? But you're doing 10 things at once, or the computer's doing, even if you're not, the computer's doing things in the background. So basically, the processor has to say, okay, well, I'm going to compute a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So it's constantly switching back and forth. However, when you're seeing, that is usually not the cause of freezing. And that's what, now we're getting to the really important thing when you're buying a computer. What you need to look at is RAM. is the operating memory of your
So what does
computer.
RAM stand
well,
for?
Well, it stands for random access memory, but right. nobody worries about it anymore. It's the operating memory.
Because I remember going into buy a computer years ago, and there was a salesperson in there, and she just gave me a list that it's got so many gigahertz, this has got this much RAM, and she may as well have been talking in Chinese, so I kind of nodded very sagely and
remember
walked out.
Remember RAM. Mm. It's a thing that's going to have the lower... There, when you're looking at the computer spec, there will be two sets of memory. There will be something that will say like 180 or 320 or 80 gigabytes, and there will be something that says 1 or 2 gigabytes.
Right.
The smaller number is the important number. That's the operating memory.
Okay.
And there's a simple equation, the more the better. That is where the real speed comes in, and that's what causes the freezes, because the operating memory is, it's a much faster memory, but also much more expensive memory. So computers can't have too much of it, otherwise it gets too expensive. But that's when the operations actually happen. So the minute you see computers slowing down, what is happening, it's accessing your hard drive. And the hard drive, that's the bigger number. You know, that's right. 80 gigabytes or more these days. But you should be looking, when you buying a computer, you should be really looking at 1 gigabyte, the absolute rock bottom minimum, and 2 gigabytes as if you're going to want to have a good experience of using your computer.
I'm surprised you say that, because so many adverts I see in the papers every day, they're still selling computers. I have 256 RAM, 512. It's nowhere near enough, is it?
256 is ridiculous. But... nobody's selling that. I don't think you would see that anymore.
I'd be surprised.
512 would be okay for Windows XP if you have an old, if you're sort of buying a secondhand computer. 1 gigabyte is the absolute minimum for Windows Vista.
Yeah.
2 gigabytes, I would never buy a computer with less than 2 gigabytes. The good news is you don't see much of an increase with more than 2 gigabytes. So don't worry about getting 3 or 4, which is 4 is the maximum now. So, you know, just get the 2 if you can, and that will see you through for the next couple of years.
Is it worth spending the extra money then?
It's definitely worth
it. That's interesting, because there's a question come through from a listener saying, should they buy from Joe, thank you for your message, Joe, should you buy a cheap computer or an expensive computer? Because they go out of date very, very quickly.
What's your budget? I bought a Dell, the computer I bought from Dell cost me $650. That I consider cheap, and that will last me for 4 years, because actually the nice thing about computers today, if you buy a good Core 2 Duo from Intel, and by the way, that's another thing to look at with processors, they have a little internal memory, and the more of that, the better. So I bought a processor with 4 megabytes, it's called L2 cache, level 2 cache, and just means the processor has its little own memory. It's even faster than the big memory, and it can, you know, so it's faster. So that's the one thing to look at, the processor. If you get a good processor, that's kind of a basic, you know, not too fast, but not too slow. And if you get lots of RAM, like 2 gig, and a decent hard drive, the computer these days will not be obsolete for 4 or 5 years, because there's nothing on the horizon except for some of the super fast games that will obsolete it. Mm. 5 years ago, you could still be looking forward to like next year, and you can have a computer and get like a speed increase in the usual day-to-day stuff, like editing video, audio, or even documents. Now, nothing that the computer can do. It just can't do almost everything. So there's so basically it will last for a long time. So I would recommend spend that up to $1,000 on a good computer.
And get a good mic.
$1,000 to a lot of people is a ton of money. And
but 600 is kind of decent. However, remember...
You can get one for 250, can't
I
you?
Haven't... Well, yeah, but then it's... But you kind of get what you pay for. They're okay, except they're going to be slow. The other thing that I spend my money on, that is really the big thing you should always look at, is a screen. I got a 22-inch widescreen, and I am in heaven because I do a lot of work with big documents. I do a lot of audio editing. So right now, you know, when you do audio editing, you have this Audition or program. You have the editing program. It takes up the whole screen. Now it just takes up half my screen, and I see other things on the side, and it's just much more comfortable.
But on those screens, I've noticed, because I bought a new computer about 6 months ago, and I noticed the new screens, they've got like the almost reflective screen.
I hate that.
Yeah,
I got one without it. So basically, if you're looking at it's called like ultra sharp or something, and it's this ridiculous thing for people to do so the video looks better on it if you're watching movies on it. If you can't avoid it, don't get it. Get just a good old matte as opposed to the shiny.
When I came in here this morning, I spoke to Dan, because we had the conversation about Macs v PCs, and he says, why the hell haven't you bought a Mac after Mac won the argument?
No, it didn't. And it just, my purchase completely vindicates me, because I looked. I actually did go to see how much a comparably equipped Mac would cost. 22-inch screen, 2 gigs of RAM, 320-gigabyte hard drive. It costs £1,200. Double what I paid. You know, yeah. I actually, because I have it on one of those purchase plans, so, you know, end up paying more over the whatever 5 years that I'll be paying it off. But that doesn't matter. The purchase cost.
Would you say the golden rule is the more you spend, the better you're going to get?
Not necessarily. No? There, as I say, if I had bought 4 gigs of RAM, I wouldn't have seen almost any increase in power over my 2 gigs of RAM. If I had bought 500 gigabytes of hard drive, I probably wouldn't have used them. You know, so just get what you need. So, for instance, I could have gone for a cheaper processor. I could have saved a few quid on a smaller video card because I had a better video card put in just because because the big monitor and things like that. So I, you know, so it really depends. The quality, it's hard to say. It's kind of a crapshoot. You know, Apple, Dell, they have HP. They have sort of variable reputation. Some people love them. Some people say they break down. It kind of really depends. And it's kind of a commodity thing. So you're just going to get what you can.
Just a couple more questions I want to ask you. One from a listener, one from me. I remember when the computers first kind of came out properly, and things like Tiny in Time used to advertise, and then Beck on Bust.
Right, yeah.
And they used to have massive, big software bundles. How important is it when you buy a computer? Because I know some people that far away that haven't even got Microsoft Office on their computer.
Yes, well, please.
Me?
Get rid of
Why?
Everything.
Don't need it.
These computers come bundled with that. It has actually acquired a name, you know, like there's software, hardware, shareware, freeware. Now it has a name. It's called crapware. That's the stuff that
we can get away with.
Is the official name for this sort of stuff. Get rid of it. It comes with this, with what's called McAfee or sort of semantic antivirus trials. All this trial stuff is useless. The only good stuff that usually computers come with is Microsoft Works, and that's decent for your family, document.
Okay, Dominic, Ross hasn't got Microsoft Works. Now, he doesn't think he needs it, but for example, I have a document I need to send him with maps on all bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I send it through to Ross. He's got no facility getting it, but surely
actually what
he
you
could
can
do with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I said, now the Microsoft Office 2007 is a very good deal. I told you about the Ultimate if you're a university student. If you're not, you can get the Family Pack, which is about 80, 90 quid, and it's well worth it, I think. If not, what you can do is you can get OpenOffice for free. So that's a complete bundle that does everything and actually can open most Office documents. And if you don't even want to do that, you can go to Microsoft's site and get something called a viewer. So Microsoft actually gives free applications. They give them away. They're viewers for PowerPoint, Word, Excel. So if all you want to do is view them, then you can just get that.
Just one other question came in from a listener, Dave. Should he buy a second-hand computer?
Sure, why not?
From eBay?
If it's from eBay, you know, if it's a reputable person, I mean, it's just how old is it and how cheap is it? The problem is that new computers are so cheap, it's almost not worth it unless you have a particular reason for buying a secondhand computer. You know, so sure, for 150 or 100 quid, just go for it. There's, you know,
but make sure you can see it working first. Oh, it's right.
I
had bought secondhand computers, but they've both broken. One's lasted about a year, you expect. And
the one thing that is recommended, actually, is called buying refurbished computers.
Right.
Dell has a section. HP has a section on their website for refurbished computers. The reason I didn't buy a refurbished computer is because I wanted to customize mine. Those are things that people have sent in. And sometimes they're just returns. And they have regular warranty on them. So that's a good way to go. Morgan Computers Online also sells refurbished computers from a bunch of companies with a warranty. So that's a good way to go if you want to do that.
All right.
Just a quick one. What was the listener's name? Was it Dave?
The one about second-hand computer was Dave, yeah.
There's a website, FreeCycle. I can't remember what the actual website is called. FreeCycle Norwich. If you do a Google for FreeCycle Norwich, that's a website where people give away everything on there is for free, what people want to get rid of. And sometimes you get second-hand computers on there that people just don't want no more. They may not be the best quality computers because they're completely free, but that's well worth checking out.
Can't do better than free, can you? Dominic, Ross, thank you very much for coming in today. Quite a lively debate we had there, as ever. And Dom, I'll let you think about what we're doing next week, but I think maybe some of the software you're talking about there might be...
Yeah, sure, we can.
And we need to convince Ross why software is good, particularly things like Microsoft Office or the free version.
OpenOffice. Yep. Go to openoffice.org if you need it now, and enjoy.
Podcast? Listen to the podcast?
This... Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's been recorded, and we'll put that on the Future Radio website, futureradio.co.uk. You can listen again to all kinds of different shows through the week on futureradio.co.uk. Click on the podcast button, and you can listen again about buying a new computer. Next up, though, we're going to change tack a little bit. We're going to talk to Andy Head from RSPCA about keeping animals safe tonight on Bonfire Nights, and we'll talk to him after Dusty Springfield.